owners lying to us?
No.
That would never happen. What are they talking about here? By the way, something we do need to correct, though, and mistakes were made on this. It's Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. You can hear us on Sirius XM Channel 80 or your smart speakers. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests are going to join us on the Sal Penzoil Performance Line. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame head football coach, going to join us in about 10 minutes. And Katie Ledecky, Olympic dominant Olympic swimmer, going to join us in about a half hour.
Very excited. Obviously, talk to Brian Kelly to see where we just heard from their AD Jack Swarbrick on the upcoming season. When or if or when it may start. So we'll talk to Brian Kelly on where they are. But Katie Ledecky, such a dominant swimmer, should be swimming right now. If the Olympics were going on in Tokyo, it would be going on now. So it's supposed to be a year from now. So we'll check in with her now. She's going to be probably the next couple Olympics. She just turned 23 years old in March and just unbelievably dominant. But where she is and what she thinks of everything and the year wait now for the 2021 Olympics. So I'm really looking forward to talking to her.
Yes, exactly. And the adjustment that she has to make at that level. We've talked so much about athletes and their preparation for this season, but now to have your whole timeline and they plan so meticulously around all the events they're going to do, access to a pool during all this, all the difficulties that you might face. So we'll check in on that. We'll check in with Brian Kelly in a little bit, but we got to check in with the money. And I did make an error in all this because Mookie Betts did in fact go out and back up the Brinks truck on this one. It is a 12-year, $365 million extension,
right,
adding to the one-year, $27 million deal that's got some things to parse in it. But I said in a human year, it's technically an Earth year. If a human was on Mars, it would still be a human year. But being on Mars, the calendar would look a little bit different there, proximity to the sun, all these things.
Yeah, we'll get into what he's making every Earth day for the next 13 years. But Mookie Betts, in this time where we thought, you know, listen, leagues are going to lose money. That's just the way it's going to be. And we have heard through the fight between the players and the league, we heard Tom Ricketts from the Cubs say the losses are going to be biblical. Other owners saying we don't make as much money as people think. You know what? We've heard that for a while as far as, oh, we don't make that much money. And we all laughed at it. And so the owners will get mocked a bit today because of crying poor a little bit, yet a deal like this goes on. My thought is nothing has changed. It's just in the time it's happening, it looks a little different. The top money teams are still the top money teams. That's not going to change. There's probably a handful of teams that could have paid Mookie Betts this money. The Dodgers are one of them. Whether it's now, whether it's next year, whether it's in 2 years, they're going to be able to do that. So that hasn't changed. So they can pay that amount, and most of the other teams can't or won't pay that amount. So to me, nothing is different. It just sounds different because of the pandemic and the money that will be lost this year. It's not what are you going to lose, it's how much you're going to lose. They're just crying a little more poor now, but so they're going to lose some money this year, but they still have a lot of money.
Well, yeah, and I guess that's the reminder, is we hadn't had to hear them complaining about money leading up to this. And so now you're going to do that in one breath leading all of this amidst the global pandemic, but then still be able to go out and shell out cash like this. It's a reminder that you shouldn't believe the people with the B attached to their name when they're arguing with the guys with the M attached to their name in a lot of this. I understand people don't like that in general, but remember who is closer to the place and represents more of your interest in all of this one. I understand it feels like it might be the team side, but ain't none of us got long money like the billionaires that are involved in all this one. And so supporting them is never really the way to go.
And why did Mookie Betts. Go ahead. I'll get caught up, I'm sure. Why not? One more week.
9:45. Yeah. Book it.
Yeah. Mookie Betts gets that 300, it'll be $375 million overall, not $392. I'll explain that in a minute. Because on a per-game basis, he's the seventh most valuable position player in baseball history, with a minimum of 500 games, according to WAR, wins above replacement, per 162 games. Babe Ruth is at the top at 10.5. Then there's Mike Trout at 9.8. Then you have Rogers, Hornsby, Barry Bonds, Ted Williams, and then Lou Gehrig and Mookie Betts are tied at 8.5 games. So he's one of those big money guys. He gets it. The report is 13 years at $292 million. Just for the sake of being accurate, it's not that, because it's the 365 extension. People are adding the $27 million for this year. He's not getting $27 million. They're playing 37% of their games. So he's going to make right about $10 million, just a tick under. So let's say $10 million. So in actuality, it's a $13.375 million total deal. And I put that into something maybe you can accept or grab hold to a little better than that. At least in theory, you'll never get it. Every single day, starting today, because the season starts today, every day for 13 years, every day he gets up, he will make $79,030. He will make just over $79,000, not game day, not during season, every single day for 13 years, an average of $79,000.
Get you someone that loves you as much as my dad loves doing the extra math involved in
that
situation.
I love that. Because I just think about getting up every day, Mookie Betts making $79,000.
It's got to be a pretty nice feeling. He can call up Giancarlo Stanton and Pat Mahomes and Bryce Harper and Mike Trout and talk about their mutually shared love of making fistfuls of cash every day.
And even all that said, there'll be people like, oh boy, imagine if that was in Florida where there's no state tax.
Exactly. And while he's going to still get taxed on this, our own Jeff Passan, the ESPN MLB insider, said, make no mistake, this is a deal where both parties win.
Both sides benefit from it. The Los Angeles Dodgers want to win championships. Seven consecutive National League West titles, two World Series losses, and when they traded for Mookie Betts from Boston this offseason, it was to add him to a core that includes Cody Bellinger, that includes Walker Buehler, and Dustin May, and Corey Seager, and Will Smith. You can go on and on about the talent, and that is why Mookie Betts was comfortable signing this deal and taking himself to age 40. He wants to be in Los Angeles. He was comfortable with the Dodgers. It is the second biggest contract in baseball history. And amid the pandemic, there were concerns that free agent dollars weren't going to be what he had hoped. Well, he didn't have to go to free agency to get paid. He got it from the Dodgers.
That's a good place to get it because, again, in all of this, the idea of testing free agency is something that sounds nice in theory, and who wouldn't want to go out and see their full worth on the market? But when you get one of these big-time record-setting contracts and you're going to get it on a team that is a perennial contender, like Jeff mentioned, and you're going to do it as a 27-year-old in Los Angeles, there's some part of you that just looks around and goes, all right, what more could I really be looking for in this?
You check a lot of boxes, right? And, you know, we say that about the big deals. Then what justifies the big deals? We were doing that with Patrick Mahomes. How many more Super Bowls justifies a deal? You do it with Mike Trout, who these guys don't make the playoffs. Now, if it gets expanded this year, you know, maybe they get into the playoffs, but Trout signs the biggest deal ever in baseball. And that's one question we haven't asked, you know, how many World Series rings because they don't even get to the playoffs, let alone a World Series. Now, they're trying to and they're hoping to, but you're always looking for then justification because we all know in these deals, like this deal with Mookie Betts goes till he's 40. Now, we all know probably those last however many of the last few years are not going to be worth their weight of what they are want to get right now from the guy. So what is acceptable is wrong because you're not guaranteed anything. What number says to the fans and maybe even the organization, you know, okay, that was worth doing for a team that, as you just heard Jeff say, seven straight division titles, but they can't close the deal yet. They get there and they can't close the deal. And they have some power there, obviously. So where is that number of we're right? It's not like a Midland team trying to better itself by signing a huge free agent and build around them. This is a ready-made team that's been right there and trying to get over the top.
We've talked so much about the trade deadline, and usually what that is that reshuffling of teams that are trying to send a message. We're all in and we're going for it. Because of the shortened nature of this season, I would consider this in the same vein of a Dodgers team that's been knocking on the door saying, we're committed to doing everything in our power to get over the hump on this one. Not only now, but in the coming years for this one. Because, yes, you were going to have him on that 1 year, essentially like a loaner this year before he hit free agency.
Right.
But it was basically saying, no, we're interested in making sure that this is a long-term thing. So no one can question our intentions or our plan in a lot of this. And I think especially as you're always speaking to a fan base with a lot of this stuff in uncertain times, everyone's dealing with different circumstances this year. They've made it abundantly clear. We plan on continuing to knock on this door and bash through it in the coming years. And this guy's going to be a big reason why.
Yeah, going to be a big reason why and hopefully help them make even more money. Again, because baseball will get back to making money. It's not going to be this year. We know that number for all the billions leagues normally make, it's not going to be that this year. It's just a matter, again, as I said, how much you're going to lose. And then you hope by next year, you hope that it gets back to normal when spring training starts and you get going again, that we're back to a somewhat normal case, or at least on the road to being more normal, back to what they do. And we have seen these major sports, they are awash in money. You know, when everything is rolling right, you know, and you don't have these stops like this horrific thing going on right now, they make their money. They can spend their money, and they make their money, and they show that every year.
Well, and that's the hope for baseball, because we know that CBA negotiation is looming on the other side of this. It's why all the ugliness of this summer had such a different bit of venom to it, because we knew this could just be the precursor to something even worse for a lot of that.
And I think the other difference is, we always talk about, what is it, the rising tide lifts all boats. Well, in this case, as Jeff Passan said, just because Mookie Betts signs this deal doesn't mean everybody else raises up. This, he says, it's not one of those situations. You are always going to get those top players getting that top money. But what does that do? We saw kind of the next tier last year in free agents. They weren't signing anywhere. It took a long time for them to sign, and then it was usually short deals. So in this instance, the top players are always going to get their money, but that at least for now, that next level, it doesn't seem to be like, okay, oh man, like every quarterback is waiting to see, forgetting the Mahomes deal, but waiting to see, you know, what Deshaun Watson gets or what Dak is going to get. You know, that kind of lifts what the floor is going to be for everybody else. And Jeff Passan basically came on here and said, that's not the deal in baseball.
Yeah, no, the exception seemed to be these powerhouse deal guys and all that in that Mahomesian category, even though there's more of those contracts in Major League Baseball. The rest of it is going to be, I have a feeling, the meat of a lot of what happens when it comes to the upcoming CBA. Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr. here now. Professional sports getting ready to get back and get going right now. College sports in a little bit of a different situation, and a situation that seems like it's constantly changing now. And with that in mind, we're looking forward to checking in right now with Notre Dame head football coach Brian Kelly. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. It's great to talk to what I would consider the only show to talk about college football is the Golic Times 2 show.
Oh, we like that a lot.
Exactly. Yes. We've got the monopoly on it right here around here, which is a nice place to be, Coach. And I guess just checking in for you right now, Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director at Notre Dame, obviously made a lot of waves earlier in this week talking about his desire to see the start time of the season move back. I'm sure you guys have talked at length about this. So what have the conversations been like from your end about the timeline for the start of the season?
Well, I think, you know, moving it back just meant to create some space in the month of September for us. And as you know, we were scheduled to go early in Ireland in August. And so it just made sense that, you know, from our standpoint, given the current, you know, situation in the country, creating some space in the month of September, you know, just gives us an opportunity for, you know, everything to begin to take a better stance as it relates to getting a handle on, you know, your protocols and procedures, get a peek and a glimpse at what's going on out there in terms of what other people are doing. You saw yesterday the NFL is going to require all fans to wear masks. Can we take a little bit of that from maybe what we're going to do at Notre Dame for fans? You know, so all of it is really about, you know, buying us a little bit more time to get a sense for what the landscape looks like out there in our country. We're going to play football. And I say that with the confidence based upon how well and how determined and disciplined our players are. They want to play, and they have shown over the last month the kind of commitment, the attention to detail, the discipline to play in a very difficult situation. There's a pandemic going on, and we all know that, and you have to be safe, you have to be careful, but our guys have handled it tremendously, and I'm so proud of them, and they are so committed. They want to play this game of football, and we're going to provide them every opportunity to do so.
And I want to get into that, because that is such an important part. But as far as pushing the season, it would seem to make sense, because it doesn't seem like anybody is going to play a full season. Notre Dame already had Stanford and USC, right, and Wisconsin pulled because of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten have said they're only doing conference games. So pushing it seems like the right thing to do. But, you know, Notre Dame, as far as their testing, had very few positive tests. And a lot of that, you mentioned it, the protocols are one thing. But just like in baseball, because they're going to travel, in the NFL, they're going to travel, in college, they're going to travel, you have to have buy-in from the players. So can you go a little more into that and just what you're saying to them and how they're doing so well with taking care of themselves and really relying on each other to do the right thing?
Yeah, it's a great point, Mike. And you know, I mean, you're in it every single day. I mean, this model, you know, is a little bit more difficult, right? So for the last month, you could use this analogy. We've been in the bubble, right? But when school starts, we're leaving the bubble and playing a season. Well, the NBA and MLS and the NHL, they're going in a bubble to play their season. That seems to be a lot easier. So there are difficulties as we get to the season in terms of how our players manage themselves in a very difficult environment, because there are many more people that are going to come to campus. There are travel situations that you have to deal with. So discipline, attention to detail, peer accountability, saying no to being in the environments that could put you in a compromising situation. All of those things require a commitment to wanting to play the season. So what we've said to our guys is, listen, winning a national championship is, as most have always said, is one on the field, but it's also going to be one off the field this year. And our guys have those traits necessary, and we've got a really good football team. So if we do the right things, we've got ourselves in a position to win a championship, and that's why they want to make sure that they can do this.
I'm wondering, Coach, we're talking to Brian Kelly, head coach at Notre Dame. The players are buying in and such, and all the other pro sports we're mentioning, they have unions to talk to leagues to deal with things. For the players, it's basically parents. How much interaction have you or the school had with parents who have had questions about the situation?
Well, I think that's a great point. I think what we said from the very beginning is that when we did our very first interaction with our procedures and protocols, and as you know, having a son at Notre Dame, the parents are not normally in the loop. It's Notre Dame's fashion of teaching and developing is that we generally deal with the students. But in this instance, and during a pandemic, we brought the parents in on all of the decisions that we were making relative to the health and safety of their students and their sons in this instance. So they were involved in all of our Zoom calls. They received all of the information relative to how we were going to treat their sons, how we were going to place the protocols out there to make sure that they were safe. We went through testing. And of course, you know, all of these things, you know, we've said many times before, you know, we were building the plane as we were flying it too. So there were things that we had to tweak as we went, and you know, we were in contact with parents as we went through this entire process, and we didn't make it mandatory. If you didn't feel comfortable being here, you weren't going to lose your scholarship. You didn't have to sign a pledge. You didn't have to do any of those things that are being done at other schools. You had the ability to opt out, like many of the NFL and NHL teams and NBA teams have issued. So this has been definitely one where we've involved the parents in this decision.
And Coach, I'm curious, you mentioned building the plane as you're going along and trying to fly it in this instance. Part of that has been some of the differences in schedule. You guys are progressing towards putting pads on, getting ready to do football activities. And this year in college, you guys are going to get to do it with essentially OTAs, as it's been described, kind of the NFL model of that. So I'm curious, as you've started to look towards how do we translate the things that we're trying to do social distance-wise onto the field, has that changed the way you guys are looking to structure any of these OTAs, any of the practices coming up this fall?
Oh, yeah, it's a whole new world. You know, we have to have some kind of face coverings, right? You know, we're going to be testing, obviously, but we still have to have a face covering in terms of our teaching. So, you know, what does that look like? A cloth mask over your mouth is not going to translate very well in terms of communication. So, you know, custom-made plastic shields over your mouth, which sometimes are not the best, but require, you know, obviously from a ability for you to communicate with your players. There's going to be, you know, audio on the field where you're going to have to be mic'd so your voice can resonate and get out to the group. Those are going to be important teaching elements that, you know, we're going to have to walk through and make sure that our guys understand. So, you know, this is a whole new world in terms of teaching as well. So we'll take some time because we do have some extra time built in just to walk through those teaching opportunities that are going to be a little bit different than a traditional practice opportunity that we've had in the past.
Talking to Brian Kelly, head coach at Notre Dame. And at some point, Coach, it has to get to football. People are going to have to line up against one another and hit them and tackle them. So I'm sure you have a schedule which has to be written in pencil today. But is there a thought of a date when actual football will be practiced on the practice field?
Yeah, so our first practice opportunity is August the 7th. So, you know, we're essentially in our fourth week of training. You know, we'll train up through the 7th, which will give us a good 6-7 weeks. And we'll still have the ability to train through the month of August. And let's say, for example, we do push our schedule back to late September. We're going to have plenty of time to work with our team. Again, remember now, we're making up for the fact that we have not had anybody tackled since our bowl game back in December. Wow. So with no spring ball, it's really going to be important that we get into some form of, you know, football-related activities. And so we're going to have to spend some time, you know, playing some football. I mean, it is a game that requires those kinds of skills. It's not just walkthroughs and, you know, watching video. So we've got some time, and that was why it was so important to kind of push this thing back to later in September to build in some time, almost, to be quite frank with you, to build in some teaching and some spring ball teaching and then segue into your camp, I think, is the best model that we've put together right now. And that's kind of the one that we're going to chase down here over the next 6 weeks.
And chasing it down, having that timeline is important. But, Coach, you mentioned spring ball. It's the question on everyone's mind. So I'm curious, have you guys planned for the possibility of a spring season?
Well, there's been discussions about it, certainly. Now, listen, I'm kind of the guy on the outside of the peripheral because we don't have a conference, but I've gotten a chance to listen to some of the conference calls in the ACC, and plans have been discussed. They make sense. They're rational, but they're difficult, really. I mean, because you're counting on some things that have to occur the right way. In other words, basketball has to start on time. You know, you've got to be able to, you know, ensure that, you know, some things happen for you in the NFL. There's just so many uncertainties when it comes to the spring. In a vacuum, is it doable? Absolutely. But the uncertainties that lie with a spring schedule, I think, push it back in the minds of many administrators because there are so many moving parts to it. I think that's why there's so much momentum to get to this opener and try to get to it with great discipline amongst each and every program, and then rely on each and every university to do a great job with their protocols. And if they can do that, hopefully we can get a season in.
Well, it sounds like you guys are sure well does. On your way, certainly, yep, as it pertains to all this. So, Coach, best of luck. Please stay safe and healthy with everyone out there, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
You too. That does seem like the plan. Push it, right? Push it to closer to the end of September. Give a little more time.
Give everyone time and then, yep, take your best shot at this,
right,
because college football is, right, likely only going to get one. Coming up next, though, the Olympics start 1 year from today, and one of America's best hope for gold is going to join us after this. Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Like our next guest, You've usually seen her with a lot of gold involved in all that. Dominant. So as we talk about Mookie Betts and money this morning, it seems only right that we bring in a guest heavily associated with gold. Five-time Olympic gold medalist Katie Ledecky joins us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Katie, before we get going, my dad is such an Olympic nut. We're such a big swimming family around here, so we're really excited to talk to you. You did throw out a first pitch at Nats Park back in 2016. So I'm curious, Dr. Fauci is getting ready to throw it out tonight. Night for the Nats and the New York Yankees opener here. Any advice for Dr. Fauci going into this?
Oh, I would never give advice to Dr. Fauci. I'm the one listening to him. I'm so excited to watch that tonight. I'll be tuning in for sure. Love the Nats and love Dr. Fauci. So can't wait to see him get it over the plate tonight.
Yeah, that was after 2016 after the Olympics where he had four gold there. He had a gold in the 2012 Olympics. Your dominance, Katie, has been incredible. World record holder in the different 400, 800, 1500. But how has it been now? Because the one thing I do know about swimming is, man, the schedule you guys are on for what big meets to taper for, to be ready for, and you're supposed to be swimming the Olympics right now. So how much has this thrown off your training schedule, if at all, I guess?
Well, it threw it off at the beginning just a little bit, and we were still just kind of waiting to see what was going to happen. But once the decision was made and the postponement was announced, I was able to really shift my focus to 2021, and I'm still training hard and trying to use this extra year as a way to improve. And I spent a couple months training in a backyard pool, but I'm back in a 50-meter pool training really hard with some really motivated teammates, and I'm excited about the year ahead.
Well, that was one thing we're going to ask. I mean, during the pandemic, you know, I know I was eating donuts. Everybody was watching Tiger King. You guys have to keep swimming somehow, some way. So I was just going to ask, how were you able to keep that going?
Yeah, as you know, staying in the water and keeping that feel for the water is super important. And I was very thankful that a very, very kind family had a really nice backyard pool in the area here near Stanford that I was able to train in with my teammate, Simone Manuel. It was a two-lane, 25-yard pool, so we were able to have our own lane and make sure we were still socially distancing and keep at our work and stay fit.
I'm just saying, imagine being that person. Like, oh, by the way, I'll just have these Olympians come over and swim in my backyard pools. Katie Ledecky is with us here on Golic and Wingo. And so, Katie, how does this adjust your expectations for how the games are going to go overall? What have you heard as far as the powers that be in the the U.S. Olympics and everyone that's involved in decision-making for you guys? Have they given you a sense of what to expect now timeline-wise going forward?
I think we're starting to hear some things, see some things. Certainly there are always speculations and articles and things like that, but there's a lot we can't control. So I'm just controlling what I can control and focusing on my training right now, just getting a lot of really good work in. I'm getting eager to get back into some racing, but I don't know exactly when that'll be. So I'm just preparing for that first opportunity.
Katie Ledecky joining us, five-time Olympic gold medalist, 15-time world champion gold medalist, here to talk about who she's partnering with. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But the one thing that, you know, Katie, your name comes up with maybe winning as over time over the next few Olympics as many medals or golds as Michael Phelps, and we saw his dominance. But your dominance, for those that don't know out there, you were beating people so badly you could almost get out and dry off before they were finishing. Now, one thing we do know, that things like that don't last forever. So as you're training and as you're swimming in more of these meets, do you start to feel the heat from some other swimmers from around the world that may be getting a little closer to you in some of your big events?
Yeah, there's great competition around the world, and there always is, and everyone's always getting faster. And so I'm just making sure that I'm also getting faster, and it's exciting and fun to have competition. And so I'm really motivated. As I said, I feel like I'm more motivated than ever and really trying to use this extra year for my benefit.
Well, you mentioned it, all of that. You know, one of the things you're here also is a benefit of a partnership you're involved in. What can you tell us about what you're doing with the folks at BIC?
Yeah, so I've partnered with BIC Soleil for their razors. And as you know, shaving is an important part of a swimmer's routine. And every choice that I make from here on out is important moving forward towards 2021. And I know that I can rely on the Big Soleil Sensitive Advanced Razor for the best shave. And so I'm really excited about this campaign that we have. It's called Game On, and I'm partnering with Bic, and alongside my teammate Simone Manuel, who I've been training with these past couple months. We're both working hard, and we're also trying to inspire women to have the confidence in themselves and not be afraid to really show it.
Simone Manuel, a great sprinter for the U.S. We're talking to Katie Ledecky, world record holder, 400, 800, 1500 meter swim, world records, golds everywhere. I mean, the accomplishments have been incredible. But again, as you said, during the pandemic, you were able to find a pool to swim in. We're talking a lot about some of the other pro sports out here and when they're starting up and baseball starting tonight. When is, you know, people looking at swimming look to the Olympics or the World Championships, but you guys obviously have more meets than that. What is the schedule like as far as actual competitions coming up through this pandemic?
Yeah, there have been some competitions scheduled, and there are a lot of different things on the horizon that I'm looking forward to, and I'm still figuring out exactly which competitions I'll be going to, and, you know, I think everyone's figuring it out, and sometimes it might be a last minute decision or a decision one way or the other. So I'm just taking it day by day, as we were talking about the Nationals. You know, they have the slogan of go 1-0 every day, and that's really what I'm trying to do, just take it day by day and attack the day.
Well, you've gone 1-0 multiple times, so hasn't been a problem for you. I'm wondering, you just turned 23, certainly a lot of years in front of you. Do you have that long-range goal, not so much of medals or Olympics, but of how long that you want to do this?
I don't have an age in mind or a certain year. I think I know for sure I want to go at least through 2024 and kind of take it year by year from there. The Olympics in 2028 are in LA, so that's very enticing to try to stick around to then. But you know, I'll be 31 at that point. So who knows? Swimmers are staying in the sport longer these days, and I just want to see where I'm at in life at that point and go from there.
Katie, I'm curious, you spend usually as swimmers so much time in the pool. My younger sister was a collegiate swimmer and used to have so much practice, she hardly had time for much of a social life. In the middle there, obviously during this pandemic, you can train, but I'm sure a little bit less than usual. So you mentioned you've been with Simone a lot. What have you guys done to stay busy outside of the pool at this point, since you've had plenty more free time, I'm sure?
I've actually been taking classes. So I'm still finishing up my degree at Stanford. I'll be finishing it up in the fall. I was able to take 4 classes in the spring, and I'm taking another 4 classes right now this summer. Stanford's on the quarter system, so I have a couple papers and midterms this week that I'm finishing up, and that's been great to have to really keep me busy during this time and do something really productive.
Well, we appreciate your time this morning and also your great partnership with Bic. You and Simone, obviously enjoying that as well. And the more we have you swimming, the more we know we'll have someone from America on the top of the podium come World Championships and Olympics. So we look forward to more of that, Katie. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
It would be amazing. Her first Olympic gold, she was 15 in the 2012 Olympics. If she were to make it to the 28 Olympics in L.A., I mean, that would be incredible. She'd be 31 at the time. Again, athletes are different today, can handle a little longer. That's a long time to be a dominant swimmer. It will be very interesting if she can make it. I'm sure she'd like to, because the Olympics would be in the United States then, but one of the most dominant swimmers you've ever seen.
She could potentially still be in the Olympics at 31, representing us in Los Angeles. I am almost 31, and I eat a pint of ice cream a day.
There you go.
Oh, man, it is humbling sometimes. Golic and Wingo would like to remind you that 30 for 30 podcast in association with ESPNW are presenting its latest season, Heavy Metals, Inside the Caroli Gymnastics Empire. The 7-part series tells the story of Bella and Marta Caroli, the coaches who brought women's gymnastics in the U.S. to the absolute dominance on the world stage. and also enabled its greatest tragedy. Listen now to all 7 episodes of Heavy Metals Inside the Caroli Gymnastics Empire on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. Coming up next, we're getting ready to toss out the first pitch tonight. I think it's going to be a strike. My father's a hater. We'll get to that after this.
By the way, you're also the only Gola kid that's not married or engaged, and you're the oldest. Your mother would like to see you right
now.
Don't
try and deflect from the fact that you're a hater, and we'll find out why. Supporting them is never really the way to go.
And why did Buki Metzger... Buki. Go ahead. I'll get caught up, I'm sure.
It's Golic,
Buki Metzger,
and Wingo.
Golic and Wingo. Brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant. Don't have time to wax your car or can't get your kid to do it? 303 Touchless Sealant is a quick and easier solution. Simply spray on and rinse off. It's that easy. Get ultimate protection and shine in minutes that last up to 6 months. Now available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, and Advance Auto Parts. Visit 303radio.com for more info. I deserve to have that thing cut up.
That was well-timed. As always, God's timing is perfect in delivering us gems like that to finish out the show.
Understood.
So, you can't even really get mad about that.
I can't. As soon as I said it, I said, okay, there you go.
Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Buki Metz, big-time contract.
Buki Metz, $365 million, 12-year extension.
Yep, added on to the year he's got already now. Leads us in to opening day with some good news on this one, and I am very excited for opening day. I am a company man, and I will remind you that 7 o'clock Eastern tonight, the Yankees, the defending champion Nats, going to pitch off Garrett Cole and Max Scherzer, 200-300 strikeout seasons on the mound against each other for the first time ever, and somehow I'm still more excited for this Taylor Swift album to drop at midnight.
You really are, aren't you? I mean, I won't be awake for that, so you can let me know how that goes.
Folklore.
Other than that, I am all in on baseball tonight. I'm all in on Dr. Fauci's first pitch. You do think it'll be from the rubber, right, and not from in front of the mound?
All right, listen, you say you're all in on Dr.
I am all in.
You're not all in.
No.
You're not all in. You're lying.
No. It's like I wanted you to win the national championship in 2012.
But you were all in, and you thought we were going to win.
I did think you were going to win. That is true. I did.
And you don't think Dr. Fauci is going to put this thing across home plate.
I don't think he's going to throw a strike, but I hope he does. I really do.
Is this you projecting because in the past you have skipped one in the dirt?
I have thrown out 4 first pitches, 2 with the Cubs, 1 for Pittsburgh, and 1 in my hometown of Cleveland. And I'm basically 2 for 4. The first one I ever did in Chicago, I skipped it. And you can't do that. I don't care who you are, you get booed.
I was going to say, you guys got booed, right?
Oh, I got booed. Okay. And I deserve to get booed. I did it in Cleveland, too, and I got booed. I mean, I did. Right before I went out to the mound, someone even told me, a guy who's been there for years in Chicago, listen, if you're going to be on the mound, when you step, you're stepping in the mound, obviously dips down, your ball, you release it high, because when you release it on the step down, it's going to go low. And of course, I was like, dude, I was a pro athlete for 9 years in the NFL. I don't think I can't throw a ball to the home plate. Give me a break. And I bounced it. And he was absolutely right. I stepped, was on the rubber, took that step, went down, and threw it right in the dirt. So what I learned was I stepped then behind the rubber. So my step would kind of be on the even. I'd stay on the even part, and my front foot wouldn't go down the mound at all. It helped me throw more of a straight ball. And it wasn't fast by any stretch. Too many shoulder surgeries for that. But at least I got it there until Cleveland, where I blamed the rain because there was a rain delay and the ball was a little wet. And, I skipped that one and got booed.
Yeah, no, good craftsman always blames his tools is what
absolutely
I've been told by
my
father.
Not my fault.
So, but you know what? See, this is the difference, though, is you went up there and you were too big for your britches and you thought you knew better. Dr. Fauci is a man who follows protocol. The whole time that we've been dealing with Dr. Fauci in the public, it's been about dealing with protocol. And so he is going to listen to the experts to try and tell him what is going on in this situation. That's why I feel like he's got a pretty good shot at this.
I hope he does. I want nothing more for that man to stand on the rubber and fire one off that's right down the pipe. That's exactly what I want to see. There's something inside of me that says I don't think I'm going to see that.
So we've got that. Coverage, by the way, begins on ESPN Radio at 6 p.m. Eastern, and you can check that out at ESPN 7 o'clock Eastern for that one to actually get started. Is there anything you're most looking forward to tonight as we get baseball's return, finally, regular season baseball?
I want to see the long ball, but, I mean, are we going to see it with these pitchers? What I want to see is how long these guys last. And these guys are workhorses, these two guys. So normally you would see them last long, but with everything kind of abbreviated, but we've heard Gerrit Cole look fantastic. How late do they go into the game? And that's what I'm looking at even more as the season goes on, because it is a shorter season, how quick the hook comes to starting pitchers, because you got about 17 pitchers basically on in your roster right now, the way it's set up. So how quick guys get the hook, because every single game is so important.
Yeah, I think that's really going to be it right now as we look at all the differences that can potentially be coming with all this. I would love first rattle out of the box to give us extra innings. Let's get a look at that runner on second base.
Over under 2.5 home runs tonight.
Ooh. I'll go under just because these are two great pitchers. Yeah. We've seen some guys lighten it up in some of the scrimmages early on, but I have a feeling we're going to hit the under on that one. No doubt about it. We'll be checking in with all of that tomorrow, as well as That Bites, Love It or Shove It, Lewis Riddick, June Lee, and Trey's back tomorrow.
Wow.
We are whole here on Golic and Wingo. Have a good day.